Bethel, and we are in our Bible study. We are studying the Gospel according to Luke. We are in the sixth chapter, and we're going to start at the first verse. At first, we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Lord God, we bless you. Heavenly Father, we praise you. Lord God, we exalt you on high right now and all the day long, Lord God, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Your name is to be praised. God, we just want to thank you again for waking us up this morning, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. You've been with us all day long. You didn't leave us, nor did you forsake us, Lord God. You kept us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. And we just want to say thank you, Father. We thank you again for the opportunity to study your word. Father, as we study your holy scriptures, Lord God, open our understanding, Lord God, that we may understand your word. Lord God, open our eyes, Lord God, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord God, feed us, Lord God, nourish our souls. Lord God, we cannot live by bread alone, but Lord God, by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Lord God, and right now, our Father, I decrease. I pray, Lord God, that you will increase in me. Holy Ghost, fill me up. Living water, fill my cup. Lord God, let it run over. Lord God, that what you have spoken to me in darkness, I speak it in light. That what I have heard and doth hear in the ear, God, I preach it from the housetops. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Man, praise God again. We're in the Gospel according to St. Luke. We're in the sixth chapter, and we're just going to get right in it. Starting in this sixth chapter, we're talking about Jesus Christ being Lord of all. And that first verse, first and second verse, it says, "And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first, that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days?" Now, according to Jewish tradition, in the Mishnah, harvesting was forbidden on the Sabbath day. And the Mishnah was the first written collection of Jewish oral traditions. Verse 3 and 4, it says, "And Jesus answering them said, Have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone." Did you read what David did? David, a man after God's own heart, with your good studying and all the laws that you have. Did you read that part? Did you forget what happened? Do you actually think that David, because it was the Sabbath day, because it was not lawful to eat, do you think that God would have a man after his own heart just faint by the wayside, him and his men, that would be hungry and famished? Absolutely not. So, and, you know, we have to be careful, you know, that we don't become legalistic, even in our walk. See, I'm reminded in Acts chapter 10, praise God, and this, as we look at this particular chapter, God has to deal with Peter, because Peter was a keeper of the law. He was a religious man. And Acts chapter 10, verses 1, 2, it says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always." He prayed to God always. So we're not going to be too critical of the scribes and the Pharisees. It's easy to become legalistic. And we see Cornelius. You know, the Bible says that he was a devout man and he feared God with all his house. He gave much alms to the people, so he was a giver and he prayed to God always. But my Lord and my God, James 2 and 9 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and trembling. Praise God. Just believing that there is a God is not good enough. Even though Cornelius was sincere in his giving, he was sincere in his prayer, he still needed Jesus. He still needed Jesus. So the fact that he still needed Jesus, God was working on the inside. God was working the details out. God was, as he was hearing Cornelius' prayer, God was also working on his manservant Peter. See, you can be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. See, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Cornelius was sincere in his prayer. He was sincere in his worship. He was sincere in his giving, but there was one thing that he needed. See, there's one thing that separates us from God, and that thing is sin. And Jesus, my Lord and my God, Jesus, he bore our sins. He bore our iniquities. Praise God. And see, you can be, praise God, you can be a devout Muslim. You can make salat, you can make wudu, you can make prayer, praise God, and you can be sincere in your efforts, and not just Islam. It could be whatever it may be, whatever it could be, Buddhism, whatever your religion may be, but you can be sincerely wrong. But my Lord and my God, if you, I don't care what you're into, if you have a desire to want to know the true and living God, he's going to touch somebody's heart just like he touched Peter's heart. And he's going to send them your way. Praise God. And again, not picking on a particular religion. Again, you can make salat. You can participate in Ramadan. You can make wudu. You can make your pilgrimage to Mecca. But there is one mediator between God and man. And that man, his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. For neither is there salvation in any other. Muhammad can't save, Buddha can't save, Krishna can't save. There is not salvation in any other. There is no name given under heaven that's given among men whereby we must be saved. And again, that name is Jesus. That name is Jesus. You know, even in my ignorance, before I came into the knowledge of the truth, I felt like if my good deeds outweighed my bad deeds, that I would somehow make it in. But I can, but my Lord and my God, I can do good all day. But if I don't have a personal, intimate relationship with my Lord and my God, Jesus Christ, I won't make it in. My name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. So while God hears Cornelius' prayer, he's also working on Peter. And this is what he's doing. It says there came a voice to him that's Peter, and it says, and Jesus says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And that's Acts 10 and 13, verse 14. And it says, but Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Again, praise God. God had heard Cornelius' prayer, and God was working on his manservant. See, he was steeped in religion. He was steeped in keeping the law. And he said he hadn't eaten anything that was common or unclean, praise God. And God said, what I have cleansed, don't you call it common. Don't you call that common. And see, praise God. And I asked the question here, who have you written off? Praise God. Who have you said, praise God, that's not worthy? Which religious group, praise God, which sect, which group, which group of people, which race of people, which ethnicity have you written off? Praise God. It might, you may have judged them by the way they dress. You may have judged them by the pants, how they wear their pants. You may have judged them by their hairstyles. But have you written them off? Praise God. God says, whom I have cleansed, don't you call common. And even in different churches, we'll say this church is legalistic. They believe this way. They baptize this way. And with these particular people are racist. This culture is loose. And see, I can go on. But when we begin to look at things through the lens of faith, we have a different perspective. We have to unlearn some things. We have to not be conformed to the world, but allow God to transform us and renew our minds. See, God says all the souls are mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And see, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And again, if somebody is sincerely, praise God, seeking out the living God, God may very well be working on you like he was working on Peter, praise God. And so instead of judging them and they're thinking that they're unclean and they're thinking that they're too far gone and they're thinking that they're this way, God may be working on you and just giving you the courage and the boldness and the words to say, praise God, that he can bring them on in. One planteth, one watereth, but my God gives the increase. So don't call something common or unclean that God has cleansed, because God still loves them. So don't write them off. Don't write them off. Back in Luke, and he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And what I want to say, praise God, in my next thought is that Jesus Christ, he is Lord and he is God. See, he's not only just Lord of the Sabbath, praise God. He's the God of the temple, praise God. He's the God of this temple, praise God. He's the God of this assembly. He's the God of the temple of my body, praise God. See, he's that manner of man, praise God, that the winds and the sea obeys him. See, he weighs the mountains in the scale, the hills in the balance. He comprehends the dust of the earth and in a measure. See, the nations before him, including these United States of America, are but a drop in the bucket. See, he counts the isles as a very little thing. The king's heart is in his hand, and he turns it just like he turns the rivers of water, and they go where he would have them to go. Praise God. He sets one down and he brings another one up. Praise God. He makes the judges out to be fools. Praise God. Yea, the judges and the princes of the earth, they're vanity before him, less than nothing. He blows on them like the wind blows the stubble. See, our Lord is Jesus is Lord and Jesus is God. Hallelujah. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and he taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. See, they watched to inspect. See, they came alongside. You know, they noted insidiously in a gradual, subtle way, but with harmful effects. With harmful effects. But praise God. See, we have to be careful, praise God, of those that are seemingly just hanging around. Those that see, they know you're saved, praise God, but they may have some ulterior motives and some hidden agendas, praise God. See, they're just hanging around, and sometimes, praise God, they will allow themselves to be used by the enemy. They will allow themselves to provoke you. They'll allow themselves to be tempted by you, praise God, just so they can turn around and say, I thought you were saved. I thought you were a Christian, just so they can run and tell somebody, look what I got this good Christian man doing. Look what listen to what he told me. Listen to what he said. But be careful, see. But my Lord, my God, Jesus, he knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. He said, but verse 6 and verse 8, it says, but he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and he stood forth. Not only is our God omnipresent, he's everywhere at the same time, and then he manifests his presence. The Bible says, "With two or more gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Not only is he omnipotent, and yea, all power is in his hand. Power belongs unto God, but he's also omniscient. He knew their thoughts. He's all-knowing. He that gave man knowledge. My Lord and my God, he knows before the next word rolls off my tongue. My Lord and my God, he knows it all together. The very hairs on my head, praise God, they are all numbered. My Lord and my God, he's omniscient, praise God. He tries my thoughts. He tries my reins. He knows my hidden parts. He visits me in the night season. And he answers, while I'm yet speaking. Our God is omniscient. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? Good master, a good friend, a good parent, a good teacher. And Jesus is referred to as a good master, a good teacher. And a good teacher always asks good questions. And a good parent always asks good questions. He's our Father who art in heaven. And he asked them the question, praise God, is it good to save life or to destroy it? Is it good to do evil or to do good on the Sabbath day? So he asked these questions. And it goes on to say in the 10th verse, and looking around upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And I'm sure at this moment you could have heard a pin drop. But instead of being happy to see this man's hand restored, those scribes and those Pharisees and those religious folk, they had an ulterior motive. They had hidden agendas, and it said they were filled with madness and commune one with another what they might do to Jesus. See, they wanted to kill him. It says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer to God. And I talk about prayer a lot in this study. I talk about prayer a lot in this ministry, praise God, because it's important. And I want to continue to look at our chief example, Jesus Christ, after he was dealing with the enemy, after he was, praise God, causing the withered hand to be made whole, after he did all these things, he went out into a mountain to pray. See, the Bible says men ought to always pray and faint not, praise God. And praise God, somebody said, if you have no prayer life, you have no power. If you have little prayer, you have little power. If you have much prayer, you have much power. And it's the same with the church. You show me a praying church, you'll see a powerful church. And he went out into the mountain to pray. He didn't, praise God, he didn't sound the trumpet and said, I'm going to pray. He went into a secret place. He went into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. You see, we need to pray so we can be replenished. We need to pray so we can be refreshed. We need to pray so we can get empowered. But he also prayed because he had some decisions to make. See, he was about to make some decisions, praise God. And we need to look at this because, praise God, there's some decisions in your life, praise God, that you need to pray about. Because you need to pray about who you're going to marry. You need to pray about that job that you're going to take. You need to pray about which school to send your children to. You need to just pray out and see Jesus. He continued all night in prayer to God. I like that because, you know, before we were saved, we spent all night doing a whole lot of things. Spent all night dancing, praise God. We spent all night drinking. We spent all night doing this or that. And even now, we can spend all night scrolling on our phones. But my Lord and my God, Jesus, he continued all night in prayer. Continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto himself his disciples. And of them, he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Many are called, few are chosen. He called unto him his disciples. Disciple is a learner, it's a student, it's a pupil. And of them, he chose 12. Many are called. See, the call is the invitation. The call is the invitation to discipleship. The call is the invitation to learn of Jesus. But there are some that he chose. And of the disciples, he chose 12. And then he named them apostles. And again, called is the invitation, but being chosen is the election. And the word apostle, an apostle is a delegate. He's specifically an ambassador for the gospel, officially commissioned of Christ, and he has miraculous powers. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 14, it says, and he being God, gave some apostles. See, he gave gifts unto men. Praise God, and thank God that he's the one that gives the gifts. And thank God that sometimes when people have these gifts, see, in the secular world, you can be an educator. You can be a great teacher in the secular world. In the secular world, you can be a great motivational speaker, but God gives gifts into men. And just because you are a good motivational speaker in the secular world, that doesn't mean God called you to preach. Just because you can teach in the secular world, that doesn't mean that you are a teacher. God gives gifts unto men. And we make the mistake in Christendom. Praise God, if somebody's an educator, we'll roll out the red carpet and we'll give them a platform and we'll allow them to teach, praise God, and that they're ineffective, praise God. Somebody can be a motivational speaker. Somebody could love to talk, love the spotlight, love the platform, but praise God, you can't preach unless God sends you. And you can't, and God gives these gifts. He gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. And that word perfecting means the maturation of the saints. For the work of the ministry. I need to be mature for this work. I need to grow for this work. It goes on to say, for the edifying of the body of Christ need to be built up. And how it's built up is with these men and with these women that God gave these gifts. It says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. See, we got to grow up spiritually, saints. We have to grow up. See, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I had to put away those childish things. I can't be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. I can't be looking for the next best thing in Christendom. Somebody seen something that nobody else has seen in Scripture. My Lord, my God, let us not forget the simplicity of Christ Jesus, praise God. Let us not try to get so deep, praise God, that we drown. Praise God. Let us not try to go so high that we get so low. Don't forget the simplicity in Christ. Paul told Timothy to preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word, young Timothy. Nobody cares about your thoughts and your reasoning and your philosophy and your psychology. Praise God. Teach the word. Preach the word. And carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And again, an apostle is a delegate, specifically an ambassador for the gospel, commissioned by Christ, He has miraculous powers. And another qualification of the office is one that has seen the resurrected Christ. Someone that has seen the Lord. Paul was an apostle. And he said, I was one that was born out of due time. See, God chose Paul, praise God. They were asking about him. He said, nah, leave that one alone. See, I chose him to see that just one and to hear the voice of his mouth. See, signs and wonders accompanied Paul, praise God. Again, he had his Damascus Road experience, praise God. He was on his way. See, he thought he was doing good. He thought he was doing right. See, he was steeped in religion. He went to that school of Tyrannus, praise God, and he learned all of the law, and he was practicing the law. And when this new thing, when this Christendom came, he thought it was his business. He thought he was doing God a favor by eliminating these Christians, praise God. But God saw him on that Damascus Road, and the Lord revealed to him, and he knocked him off of his high horse, and he said, and he blinded him. But again, he saw the resurrected Christ, and signs and wonders were wrought by his hands. And another thing that accompanies the office of an apostle is the ability to lay hands on repentant, obedient believers who desire to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. In Acts chapter 8, we find Philip. And see, Philip was one of the first deacons of the church. And the apostles at that particular time, there was a dispute. And you had some, you know, complaining about the giving and the distribution. They weren't getting their share. And the apostles, they brought this to the apostles' attention. And it was like, look, we're going to give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, and we're going to appoint some others over this matter. And that's where we got our first deacons. And it simply means a waiter. It simply means somebody to serve tables, and they were chosen out. And Philip was one of them, praise God. And praise God. And Philip in Acts chapter 8, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Again, deacons aren't just standing at the door. Deacons aren't just taking up the offering. Deacons aren't just praying over the communion. Deacons preach Christ Jesus. Praise God. And when deacons preach Christ Jesus, signs and wonders followed them. Again, I've said it before. I'll say it again. See, we're looking for titles. We're looking for the apostle. We're looking for the bishop. We're looking for the elder. Praise God. But God is looking for believers. These signs follow them that believe. In my name, Jesus said, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick. In my name, praise God, they shall speak with new tongues. And even if they drink a deadly thing, praise God, it won't hurt them. The Bible says they went out preaching and teaching everywhere, and God was working with them, confirming his word with signs following, praise God. That's how you know the word of God is going forth, praise God, because God is going to confirm his word with signs following. And Philip, when he spake, he preached Christ unto them. And they with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, and they were hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So praise God, Philip was a believer, signs and wonders followed him, and my Lord and my God. But we're just talking a little bit about the gift, the office of an apostle. It says, now when the apostles, still in Acts chapter 8, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, then laid they their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Then the apostles, praise God, laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. See, that, praise God, gift is it with the office of an apostle. An apostle has seen the resurrected Christ. An apostle, signs and wonders is wrought by his hands. An apostle, if there's a repentant believer that so desires to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, an apostle will lay his hands on them and they will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, praise God. And again, it wasn't just restricted to the 12. I'm reminded in Acts chapter 19 when Paul was on his missionary journey, he came unto the church at Ephesus and he asked them, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we haven't heard that there be of such a Holy Ghost. Paul asked them, what baptism were you baptized with? He said, we were baptized with John's baptism. And Paul continued to preach. He continued to expound on them. And verse 6, it says, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So that accompanies the office of an apostle. And bless God. And if you were tuned in when we open up this service tonight and you've heard it before, praise God, I announce myself as Apostle Reginald. And praise God, and the question is asked, does the resurrected Christ still reveal itself unto men? My Lord and my God, in 1986, the resurrected Christ revealed himself unto me. I was, praise God, deep in sin. I was drinking and driving again. And I was so drunk that I ran into a tree on a straightaway doing 70 miles per hour. How do you hit a tree on a straightaway doing 70 miles per hour? Drunk. And I was drunk as a skunk. And I hit that tree. Praise God. It was miraculous that I made it out. I was able to walk out. I didn't have a scratch on me. I went to the hospital. They did exploratory surgery and they did an examination. Not a bone was broken. And I was just miraculously spared. If you would have saw the car, you were like, nobody. There were no survivors in this. The car was just completely destroyed. But when I went back home, they finally released me. They couldn't administer any pain medication because I was still drunk. But when they finally released me and the alcohol wore off, I went back home and I was in excruciating pain. And I can remember being on the phone talking to one of my friends. I was like, you know what? I don't know how I made it out of there. And all of a sudden I started thinking about some good things. I started thinking about not drinking anymore. I started thinking about going to church. I started thinking about, see, I didn't have any knowledge of Jesus at this particular time. Only thing I heard is that there was a man upstairs. Only thing I heard is that you should join the church. I didn't know what that meant. What do you mean join the church? Do I put my name on the list? Do I pay my money? Do I have somewhere to be buried? What does that mean? Nobody told me that I needed to be born again. Nobody told me that I needed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And while I was sitting there talking on the phone with my friend, the resurrected Christ came into the room. He was high and lifted up and praise God. And when I looked unto him, all the pain that I had was experiencing at that particular time, and I mean, I was in excruciating pain. I could barely walk. It just went away, praise God. And all, praise God, the desire to drink and the desire to hang out and to do this and to do that, those desires, they left me. And as I kept looking at them, praise God, I kept feeling good, praise God. As a matter of fact, it's a feeling that I've never experienced before. And again, I drank some drink and I smoked some smoke and I did this and did that, but nothing could compare into being in his presence, praise God. And again, he was high and lifted up and everything, everything, it just left me. It just left me. He didn't say a word. And he left. He left the room. So that's why I preach the way I preach. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. I know the Lord lives. I know that he saves. I know that he heals. I know that he's alive today. And I know that he loves you. And that same Jesus, he's coming back again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And again, that office, it's a part of this ministry, praise God. And also Paul, they were questioning his apostleship, praise God, because they knew he wasn't one of the 12, and they were questioning his apostleship. See, Paul said, you know what? Another sign of my apostleship is you in the Lord, praise God. See, another sign of my apostleship, praise God. See, there's some people out there, praise God, that whom God has used me to lay my hands on, and God has healed them. He's made them every whit whole. See, there's some people out there, praise God, when God sends me to do the work of an evangelist, praise God, hallelujah, wherever state they were in, God met them right there, and praise God, he saved them to the utmost. And see, there's some people out there, praise God, whom God has used me to lay my hands on them, and they were repentant believers, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. So that office is alive and well. That office is alive and well. Paul laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and they prophesied. Back in Luke chapter 6 verse 14, it says, Simon, who also named Peter, and Andrew his brother. Again, he stayed out all night and in prayer, because he had some decisions to make. He chose his 12. And Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Judas, which also was the traitor. See, this is always intrigued me. Lord Jesus, we just talked about how omniscient you are. you again, before the next word rolls off my tongue, you knows it. You know it all together. You know man's heart. You tries his heart. You tries his reins. And you had to know that this man was a traitor. You had to know that he was going to betray you. You had to know, praise God, there was some abomination. You know, have you ever come into a company or somebody and it's just something ain't right about him, praise God. But and when you get that discernment, when you get that feeling about somebody, you don't just welcome them, praise God. You kind of keep your eyes on them and you kind of wary them. And if you can, you get from around them. But my Lord and my God, Jesus, see, Judas had purpose in his life. See, Jesus knew that he had to get to that cross. Jesus knew, praise God. See, it had already been written of Judas and what he was going to do, how he was going to betray the Son of God with a kiss. My Lord, my God, what love, what love, what love, what love. And another thing that intrigued me about this was, and we're talking about Judas right now, it what intrigued me was how the enemy so easily and so readily used Judas. Out of all those 12, I know he had purpose, but how was the enemy had him so accessible to him? And the answer, praise God, is, see, Jesus was the treasurer. He had the money bag. And not only did he have the money bag, Judas was the thief. He was stealing. He was skimming off the top. And I say this all the time, praise God. Sometimes you don't know a person is a thief. Praise God. Somebody don't know that they are a thief until the opportunity is there for them to take some money. Leave $100 right by them. Or put some money in their account inadvertently. Praise God. And you know how it's church folk. God. Praise God. Look what God blessed me with. Look what I found. Look who, looking around. Let me get this. But anyway, Judas was a thief. Praise God. And because he was a thief, praise God, he gave the enemy place. He gave the enemy access. He gave the enemy right to him. So when the time came for him to betray Jesus, praise God, Jesus said, that what you're supposed to do, go ahead and do it quickly. Go on and do it. And the Bible says, Satan entered into him. He entered into him because he already gave him access to his life. And again, praise God, we are not to give the enemy place in our lives. We're to submit ourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Resist him steadfast, and he will flee. Again, Judas was a traitor, and we're going to get to that in this study, but just laid on my heart to talk about that just for a little bit. Again, Satan entered into Judas. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. They came to hear him. Praise God. And y'all hear my prayer when I open up. I don't want to be heard in this Bible study. I want you to hear Jesus. I want you to hear Jesus. Praise God. I want the word of God to go forth. And if you listen to me long, you can tell that I'm not an educated man. I haven't been to university. I haven't been to college. I tried a few times. And the first time I tried it, praise God, I was just smoking too much weed. I was wasting my time and I was wasting my money. The next time I tried it, I got indicted, praise God. But what I want you to see in this ministry, praise God, I may not have an eloquent speech. I may not have an eloquent tongue, praise God. But I hope you can see and you can tell that I've spent some time with Jesus. I hope you can see and I hope you can tell that I spent some time in his word. Praise God. And praise God. And I hope, praise God, as I decrease, that God increases in me. And I pray that as I pray, Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in my sight. That, praise God, that what he spoke to me in darkness, I'll preach it in light. And that what I've heard in the ear and the ear, I'll preach it on the housetop. And that God will give me all boldness. The preacher's word, not that I just want to be heard, but I want y'all to hear him. And not only to be here to hear him, but to be healed, to be set free, to be made whole. See, they came to hear him. Ah, don't tune in and hear ready. They came to hear him and to be healed their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And that word vexed in the Greek is okaleo. It means to mob and to harass. See, unclean spirits, they will vex you. They will harass you. One of the ways is intrusive thoughts. The enemy will just bombard you with these intrusive thoughts. Praise God. You know, and sometimes he's so slick and so cunning, he'll try to make you think that those are your thoughts. And if you're not careful, you will take those thoughts as your own. And we talked about, praise God, that our thought, our mind, is the gatekeeper to our heart. If I think on a thing long enough, it's going to get into my heart. And as I think in my heart, so am I. But thank God. Thank God for the word of God. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And a stronghold is just simply a lie that the devil has gotten you to believe. See, when we pull down those strongholds, praise God, we take in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If it's something, an intrusive thought that's bombarding my mind, that's vexing me in my spirit, that's contrary to what the word of God said, I'm to cast it down. And it's a violent act. Because make no mistake about it, that thief ain't playing. His agenda is clear. He came to steal, he came to kill, and he came to destroy you. And if he can get your thought life, those intrusive thoughts, it's going to get down in your heart. And that's who you'll become. But my Lord and my God, I remember when David, after he had sinned against God and sinned with Bathsheba and killed her husband, he asked God in the 51st Psalm, he says, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit within me. He knew that what had taken place was not right. It was not clean. Again, those foul and clean spirits, they vex you. Cast them down. Cast them down. Don't accept it. Verse 19, it says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went virtue out of him and healed them all. See, to touch, in the Greek, that's haptomai. It means to properly attach oneself, that is to touch. And it's implied as having a relation, to touch. And virtue, praise God, that's that same dunamis, that where we get the word dynamite. And that means a force, a miraculous power, strength. It's violent, mighty, a wonderful work. See, the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. See, that miraculous, dunamis power went out of Jesus Christ, praise God. See, they sought to touch him. And see, I'm reminded in, praise God, Luke chapter 8 and also in Matthew chapter 9. See, there was a woman, she had an issue of blood. And she just said, see, she had this issue for 12 years. And the Bible says that she spent all she had on physicians and she was trying to get herself well. She was trying, praise God, to be healed of her infirmity. But she said within herself, see, she heard about Jesus. See, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. She heard of Jesus. She heard that he was healing the sick. She heard that he was opening the blind eyes. She heard that he was causing the deaf to hear, the dumb to talk. Praise God. She said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. See, there was something different about this woman's touch. Praise God. Again, what the words said is to properly attach oneself, that is to touch. See, praise God. See, the disciples, see, when that virtue went out of Jesus, he said, who touched me? And it was crowds. And the disciples were like, Lord Jesus, there's people out here, they're thronging you, they're pressing you. See, the word throng means to hold together, constrained, to keep impressed, to be token with, to hold and to stop. And to press is like a crowd on every side just pressing, praise God. So they were like, Jesus, there's a lot of people out here that are thronging you, that are pressing, they're trying to get to, yeah, you done rubbed against somebody, but Jesus knew that virtue had went out of him. He knew that somebody had touched him, praise God, the right way. He knew that somebody, praise God, had properly attached themselves to Jesus. See, I don't know about you, praise God, but I don't want to be following everybody on social media. I don't want to be in different houses of God. I don't want to hear the word of God going forth and still be in my same situation, praise God. See, I want to touch Jesus the right way. I want to get my healing. I want to get my deliverance. Praise God, I want to be made every whit whole. See, I done been to this church. I done been to that church and I can still be in my situation. See, you have to have a right relationship. You have to touch him the right way. Somebody said, if you do the same thing the same way and you're expecting a different result, that's insanity. But this woman, she said in herself, if I can attach myself to him properly, are you reaching out to touch him properly today? Or are you halting between two opinions? If Jesus is Lord, Let him be Lord. Choose him. Are you properly attaching yourself to Jesus? Or do you have a double mind? A double mind, the Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. And we talked about David, double-minded. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he's doing, and he sinned against God, and he asked God to create in him a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. He renew a steadfast. It wasn't steadfast. He looked and he saw that it was another man's wife, but then he was looking again, double-minded, and then he lusted after her. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. And again, I don't want to just sitting on the ministry, going to this church and after that church and not attaching myself to Jesus and getting my complete deliverance, because I know the Lord desires to make you every whit whole, mind, body, and soul. See, I want to have a right, proper relationship. See, I don't want to leave the service knowing I got some beers in the refrigerator at home. I don't want to leave the service and knowing, praise God, that somebody is at my house and that I'm sleeping with that I'm not married to. See, I don't want to leave the service again, praise God, knowing that I got a blunt rolled up in the car and I'm smoking on the way. I want to attach myself unto him the right way. I want to touch Jesus Christ because I need that healing virtue. I need that the dunamis, miraculous power, praise God, to deliver me and to make me free and to make me free indeed. Oh, my Lord, my God. I don't want to just be thrown part of the crowd. Lift my hands. Pay my money. Greet the brethren. Go right back. Because I can go right back. Be 12 years in the same condition. My Lord and my God. Praise God. Praise God. And Jesus said, who touched me? And all denied Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee and said, thou who touched me. Are you just in the crowd today? Thronging and pressing. Or are you touching him? Are you approaching him properly? Are you properly attaching yourself unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Because when you do, that miraculous dunamis power is going to flow. Going to flow. And that's going to conclude our study for tonight. Thank you for tuning in. Praise God for you. I believe God and pray to God that something was said to encourage you. Something was said to edify you, to build you up. Somebody said, if you feed them, they'll come. Pray that you feel like your soul has been nourished today. You build it. Somebody said, if you build it, they'll come. I pray that you feel built up, edified. And praise God. And again, this we're doing this every Saturday. And before I close, I always give an invitation. If you're not saved, and you know you're not saved, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And I ask the question, what is it in hell that you want? Is it the fire or the flame? Is it the, how long do you want to stay? Is it for all of eternity or just forever in a day? What is it? In hell is a place. And yeah, this is not it. The economy may be a little shaky. Your portfolio may not look the way it did. You may have lost your job. You might even be incarcerated right now. You might even be addicted to something right now. But hey, this is not it. Praise God. See, what is it? Do you want the weeping or do you want the gnashing of teeth? See right now, praise God, you can, wherever you're at, you can get a cool drink of water. But my Lord and my God, that was not created for you. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Except a man is born of the water and of the spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We believe here at Word of Reconciliation Ministries that that new birth takes place when we do what Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Verse 13 goes on to say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Confessing with your mouth is just agreeing and assenting to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is God. We talked about the deity of Christ. And believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you can't get to the resurrection without the cross. He went to that cross willfully. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and it's with his stripes that we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. All turn everyone to his own way, but my Lord and my God laid upon Jesus all of our iniquities. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you call on him today, he'll do just what he said. Again, thank you for tuning in to Word of Reconciliation Ministries. I'm Apostle Reginald. God bless you. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Baby, is that fan still burning? Fan still blowing? Yeah, the fan still blowing.
The fan is.
It must just be me. Praise God. Yeah, we praise God, man, for your guys to come out. And I know it's not easy. Yeah, it's Saturday night. The Duke Blue Devils playing right now.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, from Durham, living in Houston, so playing in Houston, just enjoy the game. Yeah. Just hope it's a good game. Y'all college basketball fans?
Oh yeah. I've been working.
Okay.
I can say happy, but
yeah.
He does follow,
especially
this.
I really like college sports and work professional. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know,